morning, Vertical Life Church. Happy New Year, 2015. This is a first because it's never been 2015 before. Did you know that? Yes, this is awesome. And because this is a new year, I'm so excited for this new series that we're getting ready to kick off this year. Last year, as a leadership team was meeting, we've been praying together through what God would have us to teach this year and where our ministry might be heading. I believe God has given me a word for you. And this is exciting for me. And I believe he's given me a vision for our church this year, which is exciting, but also concerning at the same time. It's exciting because of the prospect of what I believe God wants to do with us. I think it is mind-blowing the amount of people I believe he wants us to reach by next year. By the end of this year, the doors of opportunity and blessing that he wants to open to us this year, I believe, is so very great. And for that, I am excited. I'm excited to see what God does. But this vision is also concerning. It's concerning because of what it's going to require, the amount of work it's going to take, the kind of crazy faith we're going to need that each and every one of us is going to have to put forth, almost makes this vision seem impossible, like it's out of reach. But yet, if it were possible for us to do in our own strength, in our own power, we wouldn't need God. And so we have an opportunity to do something amazing as we partner with God this year. Now, it's been a little over a year since we started meeting as a church. We started meeting in a little coffee shop here in Clio, in downtown Clio. And we began to meet downtown. And when we met that very first Sunday night, it was September 1st of 2013, we started this church with about 30 people, including the kids. And half of those people that came were actually visiting from another church, just showing us some support. So really, all in all, we had about 15 people that gathered together. So who would have thought that 7 months later, by our launch Sunday, where we introduced ourselves to this community, we would have grown to over 100. It's amazing. And by the way, some of my friends that have been in ministry much longer than me, some of them which are also church planters, started hearing about what God was doing at Vertical Life Church, and they were so impressed that they called me and were just telling me how ecstatic they were and were amazed to see what God was doing through our church. This is not some insignificant thing. We need to know that. That God has been doing something incredible here. Matter of fact, Kevin, our assimilation pastor, he's in charge of our VIP process and our host teams and getting people connected. In some of his research, he found that if a church has 1 out of 20 guests, out of first-time guests, if they come, 1 out of 20, come back to a second time or come back for a second visit to the church, then that church can expect some growth in numbers. It can expect some growth. And I'm here to report today, according to Kevin's study and his findings, that our church has an average of 1 in 5. So our church, yes, and this is not something that we've done. This is something that is evidence of God. And I know that on a Sunday like this, because we're in this large auditorium, it doesn't feel like most Sundays that we have a lot of people attend. But if you were here on Christmas Sunday and you saw all the children and all the workers and how our V-Life youth group, our future leaders, were here gathered with us together in this place, it was amazing to me to see how many people actually gather to worship and encounter the presence of God here on a regular basis. It's an amazing testament of what God has done. So looking back at how far we've come in a short amount of time helps me to recognize that we've only gotten here through the power of God and through the faithfulness of his people. And so I know going forward for this vision that I believe God is laying on our hearts as our leaders are planning and we're praying through what God wants us to do, we're only going to get there where God is leading us through his power and through the faithfulness of his people. And many of us knew, many of us that gathered together in those first meetings, we knew that God had a big plan in store for Vertical Life Church. I remember huddling together in that coffee shop as we prayed with one another and prayed over each other, just kind of dreaming about what could be. Our ministry began bathed in prayer. And the unity of God's people coming together, we all agreed and confirmed that God had something big in store for our church. And as I was seeking God one night here recently, just praying, and you know, it was in October, and I was, you know, just saying, God, what do you want me to teach in January? Believe it or not, this is still kind of new to me. You know, this is the first year of pastoring for me. As a matter of fact, beforehand, I never really preached before, so all of this is kind of a learning process. And so I was just like, God, where are we going? What are we doing? You know, what do you want us to study, to learn from? How do you want us to walk in faith this next year? And as I was seeking God about this January, and because I know this time of year is a time for reevaluating your life and reorganizing your life and for new beginnings, I believe as I was praying, God spoke a word to me. That this word wasn't just for me, but it was also for Vertical Life Church. And I believe his message to us as a church was, now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time for blessing. Now is the time for an outpour of his spirit, that the training phase for us is over. Now is the time to plant and to begin reaping a great harvest. I believe God is ready to blow this place up. And as I was listening to the Spirit of God, he drew my attention to a man named Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Nehemiah, for all intents and purposes, was a nobody. He was a nobody. But Nehemiah was also, as we know from his story, he was a change maker. He made things happen. He was used by God in a big way. And Nehemiah made the impossible happen through an act of crazy faith. He changed a city and he re-energized a nation. And I believe that God's word to us is that he wants to reveal to us through this series, and as we look at Nehemiah's life, that each one of us in this room can be change makers. And God wants us to use us to make the impossible happen in our city, to re-energize our nation, and ultimately impact our world. And through our obedience and faith, I believe he is going to bring the promise of his blessing come to pass. That if we walk in faith and remain faithful, God is going to fulfill the vision that we saw together on our knees in those prayer meetings. And many of us here today, I know, feel like we can barely change our own circumstances. Like we're powerless to even change our own circumstances, to overcome even the basic struggles in our life. And that's me too. That's me as well. I mean, when I knew that God was calling me to pastor, when I realized finally what he was trying to get my attention to do, not just pastor, but also be a church planner, I felt in my soul that there would be better suited for the job. There would be others who were smarter, who were more educated, who were more articulate or more experienced or who had greater resources and were a lot wiser than me. And so I understand this dynamic of not feeling capable of changing your own circumstances. And Nehemiah had an important job in his day and age. His job was very important, but he had literally no influence. He was a nobody. His life was unvalued, and his greatest obstacle was that he wasn't even allowed to go anywhere, to do anything. He had to do his one job, for he was a servant to the king of Persia. And so as you look at this guy's life, one would ask, how could he do anything significant? How could this guy, Nehemiah, who was a nobody, who was unvalued, who couldn't go anywhere, how could this guy make any difference in the world? I mean, there wasn't even a reason for him to dream, because there was no telling how long he was going to live. His life was already planned out for him, and he had no power or ability in and of himself to change his situation. Nehemiah had so many barriers in his life, so he was stuck in a very difficult situation with little to no hope. And I think that's where many of us are today in this place. We feel trapped inside our situations. We feel trapped inside of our struggles. We feel trapped in our jobs. We feel trapped in our marriages. We feel trapped in our finances. We feel trapped in all the things that bring us tension in our lives. And when we look at our situation and we contemplate the possibility of being one who could change the world, we laugh. We laugh. And we shake our heads and we think, there is no way, not me. There's no way I could do something that significant with my life. And with all the cynicism and tension in our hearts, we go about each day continuing to do the same things, the same routine, just trying to get through our day. And we live in a culture, we live in a selfie-centered culture. Not just a self-centered culture, but a selfie-centered culture where we're more concerned with our Facebook profile and how many likes we have and our latest status update or post. And we care more about that than we do about how our next-door neighbor is struggling or what the poor and the hurting are going through in our city. We get so focused on our problems and all of our struggles, and add that to the belief that nothing is ever going to change, and we basically hit the nail on the coffin, putting to death any chance for there to be anything different in our lives. Because for most of us, we are missing the very thing we long for, and that's hope. We long for hope, but we're missing it. We long to have hope. We long to share hope, but we cannot share what we don't possess. And this hopelessness steals our ability to believe that our lives can change, and the ability to believe that we could be the very ones to make the difference in someone else's life. So we keep on doing the same old things, and in return, keep getting the same old results. But Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, did not do what he did so that those who say they believe in him could stay stuck in the same cycles of bondage and hopelessness. He didn't go to the cross so that we could continue living this life with our heads down in this woe is me attitude. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, as he's talking to his disciples before he ascends into heaven, here's what he tells his disciples. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And here's what Jesus Christ basically is telling his disciples. He says, when the Spirit comes, you will go from what you once were to what I've called you to be. You will go from what you once were to what I've made you to be. You will go from being the sick one to healing the sick, from being the poor to helping the poor, from struggling in your marriage to being the one bringing healing to marriages, from being the addict to setting others free from their addiction. See, many of us don't realize that we are a slave because of all the excuses we make for all the things we're going through. We are a slave to our own circumstances because we choose to make excuses and believe the lies about our situation. Harriet Tubman, she was a pioneer in the Underground Railroad during the slave days, and she said, "I freed 1,000 slaves, but I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves." She had people she was trying to free, but wouldn't be freed because they refused to admit the truth about their situation. And that's where so many of us are here today. We have all these struggles, we have all these trials, but we refuse to understand that we're not slaves. We've been set free by Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection. We are free. Imagine what could happen if we would wake up to that reality of who we really were. We are the church. We are the church, and the church is the conduit to the power of God to bring change to the world. This is what the church is. Those of you in this room, you have a relationship with God. You've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. My question to you today is, do you feel powerful? Do you feel powerful? Because if you believe in Christ, you have been empowered not just to live a changed life, but to bring hope that leads to change to the ends of the world. You have it in you. But we don't live up to what we've been called to because we don't realize who we are in Christ. And Nehemiah was a man stuck in the system, stuck in his routine. He had his dead-end job with insurmountable obstacles, but God still used him to do the impossible. But it didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of time through a series of trials and open doors and choices and situations. But the journey from going from a zero to a hero, from a nobody to a change maker, all started when Nehemiah did something out of the ordinary. And we're going to begin our reading in Nehemiah chapter 1. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. The verses will also be on the screen for us today. But in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, this is what the word of the Lord records. Excuse me. It says, "These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. What did Nehemiah do that was out of the ordinary? What did he do that began this process to become a change maker? It says it right there in verse 2. I asked. Nehemiah asked. He asked a question. He looked beyond his own struggles and his own trials, beyond his own negative situation, and he became concerned for other people. Paul, to the church of Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, he says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And time again, throughout the scriptures, God declares what he wants his people to be like. He wants his people to visit the widows and tend to their needs, to take care of the fatherless. He wants his people to be people who defend the poor and needy and take up the cause for the abused and the neglected. A people who that don't just talk about hope, but carry it on their shoulders as they journey into the darkest parts of the world. So if you want to be a change maker in 2015, if you want to make a difference in this year, then you have to wake up to the world. You have to open your eyes and wake up to the world. You have to get your head out of the sand and out of the comfy American Christianity that's so easy to get connected to, and you have to take a look around. And in an effort to live a holy Christian life, many of us just duck and cover, and we try to run from the world and all of its problems. But you see, the world is never going to change. The world is never going to be different. It's never going to have any change until the people of God capture the heart of God and dedicate themselves to being the hands and feet of God. Hands that will feed the hungry, that will heal the sick, that will clothe the naked, that will fight for those who are enslaved, that will give a voice to those who cannot speak. And feet that will run toward the tension, not away toward their own comfortable lives. You see, to be a change maker, you have to be proactive, not reactive. You can't wait till problems arise in your life or problems and trials come for you, or you will be consumed with the struggles in your own life. See, a change maker looks for the need, and when they see it, they let that need break their hearts. See, after Nehemiah asked his question, his brother and friends responded in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, they said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. And when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. So when Nehemiah heard about the city, he became a broken man. A once glorious place, a place that was home to Solomon's temple, the temple that housed the very presence of God, had been destroyed. The temple had been destroyed. The city had been destroyed. And this news of his homeland rocked him to the core. You see, a change maker doesn't fight to keep other people's needs from affecting them emotionally, but it lets it break their heart and let that brokenness turn to passion, which in turn fuels the motivation for action. James chapter 2, verse 16, James says, and you say goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food for clothing. What good does that do? See, oftentimes, as Christians, we say we are concerned, but then we do nothing about it. We say we care when we don't care. We say we love and we turn a blind eye. We say we want to help, but we do nothing. And this is the very definition of hypocrisy. Saying one thing, but doing another. And I believe we can say all of those things and turn around and end up doing nothing, because we never let the reality of the great concerns of this world reach us deep down in our hearts. Because for many of us, we are more concerned with looking spiritual than being spiritual. So we talk a good game, but we never end up following through. And God, who made us to be image bearers of his glorious presence, to be his hands and feet in this world, has empowered us through the Holy Spirit to be the agents of change in this world. And his desire is that his people would rise up, would stand together, and by their acts of faith, that they would bring the light of hope to the world. My question to you today, church, is what concerns you? What concerns you? Think about that for just a moment. And then think about this. Does it concern you that you're not very concerned with the problems in the world? Does it concern you that you've been more focused on yourself than bringing hope to others? Does it concern you that you've become a professional at calling out other people's sin rather than bringing people to Jesus Christ? Does it concern you that you don't even care to ask the question, to find out how you can bring hope to your friends, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to your kids' teachers at school, or the waiter and waitress that waits on you at lunchtime? Does it not concern you that you don't even care to ask? Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes this morning. And just in the stillness of this moment, we're getting ready to go into a time of response and worship. But a question I want each and every one of us to wrestle with this week is, do you really want to be a change maker? Do you want to make a difference this year in 2015? Do you want to see God do miracles in your family? Do you want to see God show up big at your job? Do you want to see your neighbors come to Christ and begin to walk in a new life? Do you want to see God revolutionize your city? Do you really want to be a change maker? And if the answer is yes, then it begins with you. It begins with you this week. And all you have to do is look up from the routine and take a look around at your life and ask a question. So right now in this moment, as we're allowing the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts, who is in your life that is in need? Who do you know that is struggling? Meditate on that need and let that concern break your heart. Who is in your life that needs a relationship with Jesus? Meditate on that state of their soul in this moment, understanding that because they're far from God, if they were to die today, they would die guilty of their sins and spend eternity separated from God in hell, a place reserved for Satan and his demons, a place that no human was meant to go. But because of our rebellion against God, God has to pour out his judgment on sin, and anyone who denies Christ is destined for an eternity of judgment. Do you know someone who's in desperate need of Jesus? Then think about their soul. Think about that reality and let that reality break your heart. Take a look at what is broken in this city, in this state, in this nation, and in this world. What causes are you aware of? What draws your attention when you hear about them? My challenge to us this week is that we begin to do something. And for starters, like Nehemiah, we ask a question. Begin to be proactive. Begin to take an interest in others and start with a conversation. Explore the concern and let that need work its way deep into your heart until it consumes your thoughts and drives you to your knees as you engage with God in a time of prayer and fasting because of your desperation to see it changed. This week, take the first step. Connect with a great concern and let God begin to cultivate within you the heart of a change maker. Now is the time. Church, God's word to us is now is the time. Because we can't start any earlier than right now, and the world is in desperate need for the hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. And you can begin simply by asking if the people in your life have a faith family, that a church home that they go to week in and week out. And if they don't, you can begin that life change process by inviting them to come to Vertical Life Church so they can experience the presence of God as we teach the word and worship Him in spirit and truth. Get concerned with a spiritual condition of those you come across each day. And let's begin engaging people where they are so we can lead them to becoming fully developed followers of Jesus Christ. Father, we are here in your presence. We've gathered in your name. And God, we know that you have plans in store, God. And we're crazy enough to believe what you've spoken. We are crazy enough to believe that though it may be impossible for us in our own power, God, that you have a destiny and a plan and a purpose for everyone in this room. And that together, as we work towards the vision that you've laid out for our church, God, we are expecting great revival, a great outpour of your spirit, a great many lives changed through faith in Jesus Christ, many people going from death into life. God, I'm looking forward to the day where we never stop baptizing new believers because of all the life change that is coming. God, we have to add services and we have to increase ministries. God, we're having to work even harder because we can't keep up with all that you're doing. God, I'm looking forward to the day, even now, as we begin this process of planting and reaping, that we can look back and say, you know, that was the day, that was the Sunday when the Spirit of God began to work in a mighty way. God, we've come so far in such a small amount of time, and we are trusting and believing that you're going to continue to go before us and pave the way. God, help us to stay out of your way. God, help us to remain available and faithful as we follow what you want us to do. Help us hear loudly and clearly the voice of your Holy Spirit as you lead us to minister to those we come across each and every day. Give us boldness to declare the truth of the Word of God and sharing the gospel so that the message of hope can be delivered to those who are far from you. And Lord, we thank you for what you've yet to do, even now, in Jesus' name. So in this moment, as we begin this year talking about being a change maker, and that now is the time to begin being proactive. Who will take the first step? Who will commit today to taking the first step by just asking a question this week? By asking a question and exploring a need this week. If that is you here today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say, I am going to commit this week to begin asking a question. I'm going to begin exploring. I'm going to commit to walking in faith. Amen. Amen. Because I know that I want to be a change maker. And so I'm going to ask a question. And my hope is that we, in unity, come together following the Spirit of God. And we allow God to do an amazing work in this place.